That's just, ugh.
All right, we're good.
We good?
Yep.
All right, folks, that's a good appropriate way to start the meeting here. Okay, I have it at 6:01 on Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. Call a meeting to order for Yakima County Planning Commission. Who's gonna do it? Phil, you gonna call the roll first?
Yeah, I can call a roll. And before I do that, I'd like to mention that at your last meeting, you recommended Isadora be appointed as a planning commission member. So afterwards, we contacted Robert Tree to see if he wanted to resign, and he did resign. So Robert Tree has resigned, and the board then appointed Isadora to the planning commission. And I didn't hear if she was going to be able to make it tonight, so if she walks in, I will let her sit here. But hopefully we'll make sure we are in contact with her for our next meeting.
So she's absent the first day of work?
She's absent the first day of work, yeah. And this is Raul's first meeting, so you all know him and been talking with him. So with that, I'll call roll. Doug Mayo.
Speaking, or whatever.
Here. Sergio Garcia.
Here.
Mike Shuttleworth.
Here.
Jerry Craig.
Here.
Holly Castle.
Here.
Raul Martinez.
Here.
Isidro Sanchez is absent. Six members, you have a quorum.
That's been a long time. Okay, any public comments? Item is not on the agenda. Any public? Hearing none, we'll move on. Old business, we're going to have a public hearing, LRA 2022, 405/September 2022, 00016, McHenry Development Regulation Text Amendments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can we approve the minutes before we move on to the hearing?
Well, it's not on. Oh, wait, never mind.
All right, didn't mean to interrupt. It's here,
you're right. Okay, before you should have or have received a copy of the minutes from the May 10th meeting. Any questions, concerns, clarifications on those minutes?
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Been moved and seconded. And we approve as presented. Minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Pen doesn't work. Okay. We will open the public hearing. Being that there's no one here, I'm going to forego reading the rules. And any public here to talk about it at all? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing part of the meeting and we'll move on to deliberations. I've got a few questions. So cold storage building is okay in A. Feedlots, A. Where do you park your trucks? Where do you park your loaders and your dozers? The way I read this, you can have the building, you can have the feedlot, you can have the auction yard, but you can't park the trucks there. And if you got trucks that are going to go haul somebody else's cows in, you can't do that, or apples. I see this as being a real confused mess. To be just blank about it, or, you know, you got a cold storage building, put your fruit in it, but you got fruit from some of your neighbors, so you're hauling their fruit in your truck, maybe. The way I read this is right now, you can't park the truck where the building is.
Well, you can. We do allow people,
cold storage companies, like the fruit companies, Monson and Zirkle, they park their trucks at their facility.
Is it legal?
It is. We consider it legal for them to park their trucks at the facility. The problem is the people that are contract truck drivers bringing the fruit to those facilities that are not owned by those facilities that can't park there.
Well, and that's a problem because that happens.
So, but we do allow truck parking at those facilities.
No, you allow it, but is it legal?
I would say it's legal. I don't know if we'd necessarily call it out because it's associated with the actual ag operation. It's the ones that aren't owned by the facility that.
So if I've got a dozer and the neighbor wants to use it.
No. Well, dozer's different.
No, let's just mess the whole thing up. If I got a dozer, the neighbor wants to use it to build a fire trail. I can't have that dozer in my property in ag zone.
No.
You can.
You will. Yeah.
You can. I used to have one.
Well, I've got one right now.
Operation. I mean,
go ahead. I'm just.
If it's not part.
My point is that your RT and your ag, you need to include them in this stuff, in my mind.
Well, I'll read some. Realistically, now I'll take Vandegrass for example. Probably one of the largest feedlots in the county
for decades.
Right. They really don't have that many vehicle trucks or equipment parked there. Very few. I mean, their area for parking is maybe half an acre, to be honest with you. I go by it every day. Most cold storage is those trucks don't sit there. They drop and they go. Because that's where the money is. The money is not when they're sitting there, they're losing money.
Well,
when they're moving. So it's the issue is
you gotta park somewhere.
Right. So they park at home or they park, you know, some other lot. They normally a cold store doesn't want stuff sitting there. I mean, if you even look at any of the big cold stores, and I was involved in committing a few of them in Benton County, they're very parking is a small portion of their property.
Well, is that because
property.
They know they're not supposed to, but
no, they know that the
East
building Sealer, is the money.
I came by East Sealer just the other day. Brand new cold storage building out there. It was at Hayfield last spring. On the hill right behind it, there's 30 trucks parked. There was a Hayfield last spring. I suspect that they're not supposed to be there. But yet,
and
both sides of that parking lot are huge cold storage buildings. Now, they're not packing places. So you're not packing out the long haul. This is all short haul stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just have a problem with ignoring your ag zone for letting this stuff happen.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In my research under RCW 81.80.040 under motor vehicles, under the exempt vehicles for motor vehicles, it says under F, motor vehicles normally owned and operated by farmers in the transportation of their own farm, orchard, or dairy products, including livestock and plant or animal waste, from point of production to market or in infrequent or seasonal transportation by one farmer for another farmer, if their farms are located within 20 miles of each other, of products of the farm, orchard, or dairy, including livestock and plant or animal waste, or of supplies or commodities to be used on the farm, orchard, or dairy. So those are exempt.
From what?
So even
licensing.
If... licensing. Under 81.80.040.
Well, what they're exempt from what?
From exempt.
From being a commercial license, or...?
Yes.
I can't give legal advice.
Well, what's the topic?
It's under the motor vehicles. In the RCWs.
So my neighbor has hop trucks.
Right.
Probably
many.
25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all exempt.
Mm-hmm.
They have exempt licenses.
Well,
this vehicle
they're exempt from what?
From getting a license.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
No.
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 That's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think if you start including the ag in it, you're going to open Pandora's box and create a hornet's nest where it's not needed. Because I think out there, most farmers self-regulate very well. That's my experience out by where I live. I haven't had any problems with farmers. It's these small one-acre lots in the rural areas where they're got 35 trucks parked and no gravel, no, all's dirt and...
Well, that doesn't counter what I'm saying, because if it's the small lots that are doing it, you've got a 3-acre minimum set in here, so they wouldn't be... Here we go. My friend come in. But that's, I'm talking about the 40-acre lots, you know, or 20-acre lots that that I think need to be, because you see it, it's out there. You know, according to this, like I say, I can't, technically, I can't grease my dozer on the ag lot because I'd be maintaining heavy equipment.
Yeah, so... So Mike's point is a correct point. We typically do not get involved with enforcing or even trying to enforce farmers with their own vehicles. The problem that we've come across is when farmers don't have vehicles that are associated with the farm. Neighbors complain. Then we then are forced to go through the letter of the code, and then we would like, well, why do you have backhoes and loaders and dozers and everything when you, you know, for your 12-acre peach orchard? And they will say, well, because I go out, I have a side business, I go out and I do excavation work. You cannot have that equipment there on that property. It's heavy equipment. Storage or maintenance or whatever it may be. But if we went out to that same farmer and he had that same equipment and he used it for the actual farming operation, it was two big tractors or something, we just ignore it. It just gets kind of... But the problem, and then the big operators or the farmers that have the 35 hop trucks that are licensed, exempt, that are just sitting on these farms... We typically don't have issues with those because they're actually on the hop field. What's unfortunate is the companies that own those kind of vehicles that are contracted with the farmers that don't have a place to park them. So if the hop farmer won't accept them, they have to find a parking spot for them. That's when the neighbor complaints come in, because now there's 35 hop trucks on that 1-acre parcel next to them outside Moxie, and they're pissed. So... It requires a little bit of a evaluation when we go out and we get these kind of calls. But, yeah, like Gilbert Fruit in Wiley City is a great example. Gilbert Fruit doesn't have any place for those trucks to park. Luckily for Gilbert, they're not necessarily Gilbert's trucks. They're bringing in fruit from Mattawa and everywhere else, and it's just getting dropped off. The problem that we have... is Gilbert Fruit has a decision that identifies where these trucks can go, what roads they can drive on. Gilbert Orchard says, I don't have control over those trucks because they're private individual trucks owned by Bob in Vantage, and he brings his fruit here. I can't tell him where to drive because I don't own Bob, you know, kind of thing. I don't own his truck. So we get into these kind of little nuances where farmers are contracting out with people. And so what we have had history of is contract truck hauling is only allowed in a couple places in the county. And there seems to be quite a few of those people in this county that do this. And they are all on their own personal property, and they luckily aren't getting a lot of complaints.
Oh, but the road they drive on isn't what we're talking about.
No, I know, but I'm just saying we don't have control. We can only control what... where people park and their farming operations that get permits through their land use decision. The problem is those guys are saying, hey, we don't own the trucks, so we can't control if they went down this road or this road.
That's not what we're talking about tonight.
No, I'm trying to make the point that there's two sides to it. The farmer who owns the trucks that can dictate where they park, then the non-farming people that own the trucks. They're their own entity. Those people do not have a place to park.
Well, if Johnson Fruit brings fruit to Gilbert's. They own that truck. Are we only concerned about Bob that owns a truck that doesn't have his own orchard that's hauling Johnson's fruit?
Bob's neighbor in Terrace Heights will call and complain that Bob starts his truck at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they'll say, Bob had two trucks out there the other day, and a third truck came by this weekend. And that's because Bob owns three trucks. And this happened just recently. Yeah. He had a driver that quit. So now that driver couldn't take that truck home. So he had to have the truck at his house.
But that's the 3-acre thing we've got in here is one issue to talk about, what Mike's talking about. That's not, I'm looking at the other side of it. I'm looking at, you say that you don't worry about, it's a code violation, but you don't pursue it.
It's not a code violation if it's the vehicle's being used for that particular farm.
Where does it say that?
It doesn't specify it. It's just...
How is that legally allowed?
Well, in agricultural-related industries or warehouse trade and warehouses, our parking standard is set up for those particular uses. So if we approve an agricultural operation, then they have to meet the parking standard, and then we'll identify the number of spaces that they have to have.
Are you going to require it to be immediately adjacent to the building? Or what if they don't have a building?
No, typically not. It just depends on their property. Like, for example, it might say one space for each employee working a given shift. One space for each 300 square feet of gross floor area for packing and processing areas, two spaces for the first 1,000 square feet of gross floor area, plus one space for each additional 5,000 square feet of cold, controlled atmosphere storage. So that's how our parking standard is broken down. That needs to be on the property that serves that particular permit. You just can't have this standard on your own parcel provide those trucks to somebody else under our code.
Well, and that's, I think, needs to change.
So maybe, is that something we can look at as a different ordinance? I just think there's so many scenarios out there. I'll give you a couple of good examples. Benton County, Ag Northwest, probably one of the largest farming operations in the state. Huge. Do a lot of corn. They actually put in a spur off the railroad tracks. And you'll see probably 35, 40 trucks lined up there. Because when they bring those trains off of there, they have to pay so much per hour for them to sit there. So they want those trucks to be able to fill that train to take off or empty it if they're bringing grain in or they're taking it out. So, but that's all part of an ag operation. I mean, they're not doing anything else.
Where do those trucks park at night?
Actually, they park on Ag Northwest, the lot that they have for parking all their trucks and their heavy equipment and everything else that they do in the farm operation.
Which is 10,000 acres or huge.
Well, no more than that.
Yeah, it's huge.
But that's also all of South Benton County.
Yeah.
But could they be doing it in Yakima County?
Yeah.
What if it's the neighbor's corn?
No.
And see, that's, to me, that farm owns this two sections. The neighbor over here wants to sell his trucks to pick up his corn to take it to the train. And these trucks are over here coming over there, and it's on an ag lot, and so it's a problem.
So do you see it as a problem? So my 20 acres, I grow treated kale.
Okay.
The neighbor comes and cuts it and hauls it over to his place. He's got a dairy.
Okay.
He parks his truck one night there because he didn't finish up.
Okay.
Do you see that as a problem?
I see it as a code violation.
That's what they're saying, is a code violation.
I don't see it as a problem.
It's not a problem. It shouldn't be.
I don't see it as a problem at all, but I see it as a code violation.
I don't see it as a code violation.
And we wouldn't, if it was picking up your product, that's why I'm saying we don't really do anything about it. But when it leaves your property, if he lives in the outskirts of Grandview and near a residential neighborhood,
it ends up on the dairy.
Yeah, that's so true.
Under RCW 7.48.305, agriculture activities and forest practices, presumed reasonable and not a nuisance exceptions, damages. Notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, agriculture activities conducted on farmland and forest practices, if consistent with good agriculture and forest practices and established prior to surrounding non-agriculture and non-forestry activities, are presumed to be reasonable and shall not be found to constitute a nuisance unless the activity or practice has a substantial adverse effect on public health and safety.
So that allows them to do light grading and stuff.
Well, on 7.48.310, it does, because under agriculture activity, the definitions, it says, means a condition or activity which occurs on a farm in connection with the commercial production of farm products and includes, but is not limited to, marketed products at roadside stands or farm markets, noise, odors, dust, fumes, operation of machinery and irrigation pumps, movement, including but not limited to the use of current county road ditches, streams, rivers, canals, and drains, and use of water or agriculture activities, ground and aerial application of seed, fertilizer, conditioners, and plant protection products, keeping of bees for production of agriculture or agriculture products, employment and use of labor, roadway movement of equipment and livestock, protection from damage by wildlife, prevention of trespass, construction and maintenance of buildings, fences, roads, bridges, ponds, drains, waterways, and similar features, and maintenance of stream banks and watercourses, and conversions from one agriculture activity to another, including a change in the type of plant-related farm products being produced. The term includes use of new practices and equipment consistent with the technological development with the agriculture industry. So right there it's saying using from one agriculture, chopping the corn and moving it over to somebody else's dairy, that would be your use, I would think.
Well, and I read, when you were reading that, I'm going, okay, so if I had a D8, I could go out and tear the guy's orchard, but I wouldn't be able to build a building foundation, but then you included that.
Yeah, so it's right there.
So I can go and build a spot to build a building, I can build a spot to build a house, I can dig a septic tank. Appropriate permit under that exemption.
And build a bridge.
You can.
I thought that was kind of interesting. They throw a bridge in there.
My problem is that you have all these farmers paying property taxes and everything to the county, but then you're saying the county is saying they have to have a permit for additional equipment to park on their property. To me, it's like double taxation.
So, Tommy, you said that you can't do that.
You can't do that. So it's not considered a nuisance. So that means we can't go out and say you're a nuisance to your neighbors under the nuisance laws. You still have to have a permit to do any development, any use, any activity in Yakima County. You have to have a permit to do it. So if you have a trucking business, trucks that you use for agriculture, it's still considered a land use. You need a permit for it. Now, if you are doing it as a farmer, which we don't require permits for type 1 ag related uses, not like cold storage buildings, but I mean if you're just growing something, that's an activity that is inherent with that particular activity. That's your trucks. We can't go out there to the neighbor and say, yes, neighbor, you're filing a complaint, but they have a right to use their truck for their farming. That is not a nuisance. They can do that. That happens all the time. So we'll say they can start their truck at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't do anything about it. It's for the farming practice.
As long as they're hauling their own.
Well, as long as it's part of the farming activity. But if you want to try to have a lot in this county where you're going to place trucks and vehicles or equipment on it to use off of your property for other people, that requires a permit. That is called contract truck hauling. That requires a permit.
Now, if I go and buy a load of it, I used to sell hay to a guy, and he never hauled it for me. He'd buy it, and then he'd haul it, and he'd sell it. So he was hauling, theoretically, his hay, even though he didn't grow it. And so he never got a commercial license, because he wasn't a commercial trucker. So where was that?
Where does he park his trucks?
Most of the time, when the two boys were going, there might be three trucks over there by their house.
If the neighbors would have called and complained, our code enforcement folks would have went out there and said, we got a complaint that you have more than two commercial vehicles on your property.
Well, but they're not commercial. He's only hauling his own stuff.
He's doing, but they're commercial vehicles. He's hauling it for sale. He's selling it. Is the hay on his property? I thought that was your hay.
Yeah, he buys it from me.
Yeah.
So he's a broker.
He's a broker. It falls under the code, under the brokerage offices with parking or without parking.
Basically, if the truck was loaded, he'd usually leave it in town. If it was empty, he'd take them all.
So if he left those trucks on your hay field, we wouldn't care. No one would care.
But if you took them over...
If he takes them to his house...
Then
it's a violation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Looking over this ordinance, it's basically for the rural sections, it's not for the ag. I think if we want to look at the ag, then that's something we could probably give staff a little bit more time to do instead of trying to hash them all out tonight. So can we, not being, it won't be obnoxious or anything, but can we center on what the actual ordinance says, and that's what we're considering tonight? Because I know the staff has put quite a bit of work in this, and it's not easy, as we see our discussion already. It's not an easier decision, but let's keep it narrow, and then if we finish it up, we can ask staff to maybe look at the ag and come back with some kind of vote.
And we can, if you guys would like to, we can do it.
I'd rather have that than a lot of what
I see this too narrow, and I'm afraid if we pass this, then...
But it doesn't stop us from looking at others too. I mean, I sense, when I come to, a couple people to say, well, we look at ag a little different than you look at ag. But I'd like to resolve this issue first, because it is an issue for me where people are taking their little lots and creating trucking businesses out of them.
Well, now, for you, then, is the 3 acre thing that's a threshold?
That's this was solely for the rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Could you refresh me on the 3 acres? They have at least 3 acres, right?
So I can give a quick little overview of what the original request was. So the original request, which was in blue, did not have a size limit. It could be on any size lot, any size rural lots. Well, prior to the Growth Management Act, Yakima County created thousands of lots, a quarter acre in size, thousands out in the rural areas. And without a size limit, we felt that we're only inviting potential nuisance complaints, trucks starting in the middle of the night kind of thing. So we thought, as we went and tried to modify what we were given, we thought putting some sort of size limit on the property would potentially be a good way of creating a buffer between the trucks and the neighbors. Of course, when we put that 3 acres in, we also thought, well, then again, this is, could potentially make it a 3 acre or larger truck facility. But the main complaints that we've gotten have been the smaller lots where people who own two or three trucks need a place to park them. So we put the 3 acres in a way to try to make sure that we didn't have a lot of small lot developed, really dense developed rural areas with a lot of loud trucking businesses. And a lot of those areas are dirt roads, and we just were worried about the complaints.
I understand that. The opposite of not having an ag is to protect the ag land and grow things.
Yeah, and that's the issue, too, we'll have to address with ag is what constitutes non-agricultural uses versus ag uses. Is a trucking brokerage office would probably not be considered an agricultural use, even though we would consider it, we would try to, but that could see that could be a potential issue for us.
A truck that hauls corn would be different than one that works for Beacons, or actually Winco's coming into Ellensburg in a big way. Walmart, the guy's driving a Walmart truck, that's probably not an ag use.
The issue would be for just, we have strict rules that we have to follow on the ag land on how we treat it, so we just got to be careful. That's why looking at the ag land would be a good idea as far as when we move forward. And I think some of the things Holly brought up would be kind of the things that we could incorporate. which would be helpful for farmers and people out there to know if we add a section in here that truck usage under this meets RCW, blah, 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 as it relates to nuisance complaints and things. Because most of our complaints is nuisance related, noise, dust, visual kind of stuff.
Well, they're mad at the people because their dog barked at them, and so they...
Believe it or not, it's the fact that a lot of these truck guys start their truck 3 hours before they get in them.
I lived in a trailer park at college, and somebody, I don't know what they were doing, but at midnight,
yeah,
they'd start their car and let it warm up for 20 minutes, and they were like two trailers down. I don't know what they were doing, but still, we're out speed spraying, I'm baling hay at 3:30 in the morning, there's wind machines going, they live in the country, it's not bucolic, beautiful paradise that people think it's going to be.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Under RCW 7.48.300, Agriculture Activities and Forest Practices, Legislative Finding and Purpose. The legislator finds that agriculture activities conducted on farmland and forest practices in urbanizing areas are often subject to nuisance lawsuits, and that such suits encourage and even force the premature removal of the lands from agriculture use in timber productions. It is therefore the purpose of RCW 7.48.300 through 7.48.905 to provide that agriculture activities conducted on farmland and forest practices be protected from nuisance lawsuits. So even if a neighbor calls up saying those diesel trucks are too loud, you would think that they would be protected under that.
If it's ag.
If it's an ag lot.
Mm-hmm.
Used for ag activity.
They're using it for, you know, if it's a straddle truck or a corn truck or hot truck or whatever.
In our rural areas, though, somebody could go and plant, say, one walnut tree and sell those walnuts at a fruit stand, and that would be considered an ag use, right?
I've got your walnut.
Okay. So
well, they would have to get a permit. They'd have to have a permit to sell the ag in the ag stand. So we would dictate how many parking spots they would have for the ag and what they, or for that particular stand.
Farmers market.
No, I'm just saying we would try our best to permit those in a way where it would address any potential nuisance complaints.
And that's
going
to be a two or a three.
$1,290 for a permit to sell a bucket of walnuts.
There's a good chance you won't even be allowed to sell a bucket of walnuts if it is in the rural area.
But you could bring them to the fruits.
You could take them to the farmer's market. And it would be $1,800 in a lot of the rural areas right now to have ag stands. It's the, or ag markets, anything like that. There's some zones we just don't even allow them.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for me to make a motion?
Certainly. Okay. I have an additional comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Would it be too complicated to just make it a type 3 or 4 to make it like super hard for them to get the permit just so there's an actual way for them to get a permit with an ag zoning, but that provides you the discretion and the community's discretion to approve it or not?
In the cases where they were not wanted,
yeah,
that's kind of how we would do it.
Yeah.
The problem is that these are wanted in those areas. So we want to make the permit easier for farmers to get and people to get.
Got it.
But we have to figure out a way of finding the areas to which they can go and make it easy. And in ag zones, anything non-agricultural related, like a contract truck business, is considered a non-agricultural use, and it would have to be on a piece of property less than 1 acre, or the trucks would have to park in less than 1 acre, and it would have to just even be allowed in the ag zone altogether. And GMA makes that difficult. So it's not necessarily the permit type that we're worried about. It's in things in ag zones anyway, is just to get it under the Growth Management Act. The rural areas, that was one of the proposals where if it's in certain areas where it might be problematic, then maybe it should be a type 3 where a hearing examiner approves it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's kind of a option for you guys to look at. And those are not 18, those are expensive. Those are $5,000, $3,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, my only reservation is how long it's going to to take us to come back to this with all of the other stuff that's on our agenda. So.
Well, we're doing a comp plan update. We got to start working on it next year.
Right.
You guys have the ability as the Planning Commission to dictate what you want us to do. So as this particular body, you can dictate what we do starting next year when we set the docket for what we're going to do next year. So you can direct us to look at this if you would like, as a group.
After 6 months.
When it falls within our ability to do it.
Not a federal fiscal year.
Yeah. No. No.
What say you, Mike?
Okay. I would like to move that staff, I don't know if you need to prepare an actual ordinance for us to review. Okay. I would suggest that staff prepare ordinance for us to review using the table on page 5 under item, our line 6, and then the wording that begins on page 5, item, or line 13 through page 7, line, I believe, 14. And then I believe you have the two definitions there under line 23 and 24. And then the table you have proposed on page 12, line 9. With one change, I would say in the R10-5, instead of having a number 2, that should be a number 3. And then the wording on page 13, line, 5 through page 15, line 2. And I would say if that could be prepared and brought back to us for our next meeting for approval. Hope that wasn't too convoluted. Or
so it's been moved that they prepare an ordinance for our review and discussion and possible approval at the next meeting. Do I hear a second? Been a second.
Which one? I just want, when before we're done, I want. I'm going to put those in there.
Phil, can you call roll call for the vote?
Yeah, Doug Mayo?
Yes.
Sergio?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Holly?
For roll call? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
For, yes. And Raul?
Yes.
6-0.
6-0.
Can do.
Okay.
I'll send it out to you guys electronically to look at.
Do we want to make a motion to ask them to look at the issue in the ag zone for trucking?
Well,
as part of the
it's not only trucking, but there's also maybe equipment. I mean, both of them are
okay.
Would you like to make a motion? Well, I don't know whether we need to move that or just suggest it. But we can move to. We want to continue looking at. Sure.
I would move that we ask staff to look at the ag issue related to trucking and heavy equipment, just to give us some information on what the current status is, and not necessarily an ordinance. Don't prepare an ordinance to change it. Just give us maybe a quick overview on a staff report so we can have an idea what we're looking at.
I'll second that. And move and second it that we direct staff to prepare a report looking at the ag zones for trucking and heavy equipment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Yeah. I mean, within 2 miles of my house, there's at least 4 places that are in violation of this. But nobody's complaining. I mean, they're, you know, I've got hay trucking outfits, I've got.
I'm gonna give code enforcement what Holly brought, because the just so you guys know, we try our best not to do anything about this stuff. I mean, we really do, because we don't know if Holly's trucks are for her farm or if it's for the guy that has the.
I don't feel I have to tell the county.
You might think that. We have ways of making you tell us.
I'm my license plate.
But I would like to have that. I think that is a really good tool for us to give to people that are complaining about Holly's trucks that happens to get that walnuts. That, and they come back, there's not a damn walnut on her property. We would prefer just to say, well, it's not a nuisance.
I could go plant 10 lavender bushes if you want me to and sell them down at the farmer's market also.
I guess Chris is going to come.
I'm not going to follow you to find out if you are or not.
I was going to say, I mean, are you going to follow me on the internet and see what I post on Craigslist or something to sell my lavenders?
Code enforcement may. Mm-hmm. Planning will never
There's
do that.
There's people in code enforcement. That's I have a problem with having something that you
planning will
ignore.
Never do that. Code enforcement,
but the code, because some of your officers at times are a bit
aggressive,
overzealous, and I don't like having things on the books that you're ignoring until they decide not to. I've had them stick their head through the dog door in the neighbor's barn to see what was inside of it, because he's got it on a camera. The guy's sticking his head in to look to see what's inside the building. After he went through a fence, said beware of dog through a gate. They're a little bit
aggressive.
A little bit aggressive.
But he's being aware of the dog.
Well, he probably fed some treats or something.
Well, it's no different than the assessor showing up and knocking on your door and wanting to see the inside of your house.
And you go no.
Some let them in.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to do that.
You know, and driving up private driveways and taking pictures of stuff that's just trespassing us all. What I read in some of your stuff, that you either need permission or a court order to go on the property.
Yeah.
And that's not what they think.
Mr. Chairman, we had somebody come in late. I don't know if she wants to make a comment because she was
in there for the public hearing.
I was here more or less
after.
Yeah.
It was after you closed the hearing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
But no, that's okay.
If she had a public comment, I always.
Yeah, you know, no, that's fine.
I'd rather err on the side of letting people speak
than let everybody speak for
Yeah.
Me.
Okay.
But I just don't like leaving things on the book that you're just ignoring, because then if somebody makes a case out of it, then they have to make it. Anyway, do you have something you want
no,
to add?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I will admit to you on record that is how things work currently, but it almost, I say 90% of the time, it's at the persistence of the neighbor that complained. And we will ignore, try to address, and then we contact the neighbor, and we will say, it's this or it's this, that or that, and it's just a constant struggle. And so code enforcement operates dealing in that particular environment. The people you kind of come in contact with that you're referring to are building inspectors that are doing a building inspection at this house, and they look across the street and they see that Mike has boxes that says cabinets, old cabinets, or he's got things outside his house. That building inspector will then go and say, did you get building permits for that new kitchen you got in? Or the assessor will go knock on the door and they'll let him in. They'll see the new kitchen. Then the assessor calls code enforcement and says they didn't get building permits for this remodel that they did. Those are the things that happen all the time. But for the most part, we don't go out and look for land use related stuff because it's too difficult to address. I mean, it really is. Building, on the other hand, they're super aggressive about, because permits and the tax part of it all, it's a life safety thing. But for planning, we try our best to not do a lot of code enforcement stuff on those, on normal activities that people are doing every day. And we also try our best not to do things like the guy that's got three trucks because one of his workers quit and they can't park at that house anymore.
But am I wrong when I say that the way I read it, you either need permission or a court order to go on the property?
I believe you're right.
Yes and no. If you get a building permit, you sign something that says they can go on your property. If it's a police officer, there are certain things they can't do. If they see a crime being committed, they can't go on your property.
Well, how we do it, I think how officially, if you don't have a no trespassing sign, they can go onto your property and knock on your door. They can't walk behind your house, look around, look through windows, pull in, knock on the door.
so they can drive a quarter mile up a private driveway. It's got a no trespassing sign on it and knock on your door.
Yeah.
But no trespassing sign.
If there's a trespassing sign, they can't.
Interesting.
Now, the assessor part of it is, I can't answer how they do that, but Holly is correct. They do get into people's houses, and they do remodels, and they're the ones that notify the building department in most cases. And in most cases, they're new garages that were built without permits. It's not necessarily the remodels, but we do have people that will look through windows to see if there's a slab or what's inside of them. They look to see why is there smoke or steam coming out of a shop that's supposed to be an ag building, and then is there a fireplace in it? We have one guy that went and looked, and Doug knows this guy very well. He said that permit was for an ag building that had a dirt floor, yet I see a slab underneath the garage door. So that led to an illegal landscaping business being inside that, a propane tank that was used to heat inside this building because he had three office spaces for his office staff to run the landscaping business. And that propane tank also provided propane to heat the pool with the deck around it and the pergola. None of it got building permits. And it was all because that one person was looking to see that slab to verify whether or not it was still an ag building or not. And it opened up this Pandora's box of 30 violations that are double feed, and ultimately the guy had to move his landscaping business.
Jeez,
so Doug has a point.
You know, the question I have on the rural zones, and I know you guys put down 3 acres in your thing and everything, but with the growth management for the development of houses and everything like that, if you took a 3-acre lot that was in the urban growth management and wanted to divide that up, we figured out it would be 15 lots. And on those 15 lots, you have the potential of 3 homes for each lot. So the 3 homes times the 15 lots. And then you take the potential for how many diesel pickup trucks each one of those lots could have. And I really don't understand the difference between somebody having a business with a semi-truck that they are starting up at 3 o'clock in the morning versus somebody with a diesel truck that has to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Hanford. And so that's where my quandary is on the ADU stuff from last month that we passed versus what
maybe
we just...
45 diesel pickups.
Versus what we just did here tonight.
Well, if you look at the new diesel pickups, they're a lot less noise.
They're electric.
My old diesel pickup makes a lot of noise.
Is it a
new
ram?
Ones don't. But the diesel trucks still
though.
Make a lot of
make
noise.
Them by
I'm just saying, you have the potential of 300 passings of trucks or cars from that 3-acre piece from potentially a semi-trucking business versus a housing development on the 3 acres. So what's the difference?
Well, like you said, it's in the urban growth area, so it is urban in nature.
But we're supposed to be protecting the agriculture rural zoning, the agriculture rural usage.
And most of the urban area outside the city, but still in the urban area, is zoned ag.
That's right.
Well, it's not zoned ag inside urban growth areas. It can't. It's used for ag, but it's not zoned ag. Because we allow ag in every zone. But we can't designate anything agriculture inside urban growth areas. Now the
rural transition between urban growth areas and ag.
And the just going back to what started this all was people that want to do contract truck hauling, or they wanted to use, or they have their own trucking schools or anything that deals with trucks. Or if you have an excavating company and you have a lot of heavy equipment like loaders and dozers. Right now, you have to go and look inside an urban growth area on an industrial lot. So you're paying high market dollars for an industrial lot to park a truck. And they can't afford it and they don't do it. So instead, they bring the trucks to their home. And then the neighbor complains And Holly made a very good point. That one diesel truck will get a complaint, whereas if it was this guy's personal pickup truck, they probably wouldn't complain. But they do complain. And then they come back and says, what is this? And they said, well, this is, you know, I have a trucking school, you know, and I got three trucks or two trucks. Well, you can't have that trucking school on this lot. So go to the industrial zone. That's where we're at. That's where this
came
from.
So if they told you, though, that they had like 10 poplar trees and it's going to take 10 years to harvest them, then they could have their trucks to haul those poplar trees?
No. They would have to have...
RCW says that.
The RCW is saying that the activities on the farmland or forest practices is not a nuisance. The problem is they would have to show that they actually have an agricultural operation to necessitate the use of those trucks. And to say that they might cut down some trees in the future would not fall in within that if we had to fight it, which we wouldn't.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Your code enforcement officer doesn't usually go out there and say it's a nuisance. He goes out and says you're violating code section this.
He goes, if those trucks are broken down on the property, they're not operable, then it's a nuisance. Then he comes out and says, this is an eyesore, basically, a nuisance.
Right. But other than that,
it's a violation of the building or the zoning code or critical areas, whatever it may be. Right. And that's the part about why I like this part, what she provided, is because this is what we can include in a lot of the things that we do to try to get the people to understand that this is state law. That your neighbor who has an active orchard can start his trucks at 3 o'clock in the morning. It is not a nuisance. And I'll give this to our folks. But
so
we'll,
then in the future, if you put a number one under every agriculture thing, does that mean every farmer has to go out there and pay a $485 permit?
Not on every ag operation. So it varies. If you are growing, like say you have an orchard, mm-hmm. You do not need a permit for that orchard. You don't need a permit.
But do you need a permit for your trucks and your heavy equipment?
Well, if you have heavy equipment that's not associated with that farm and it's not in the ag zone, then it's not allowed. You can't park that heavy equipment there.
But the RCW says that you can maintain your roads and everything, and I know like we have a scraper and a blade and all that kind of stuff, and we don't use those on trees unless we're pulling them out of the ground. So
that's where we would make that common sense call. We would say you're using this for your farm.
But if you had it in the code and somebody wanted to get nasty, then you're sitting there saying that a farmer has to pay an extra permit fee?
Or they might not be able to even have them on the property. So if the neighbor calls and complains and says the Castle family has 5 large earth-moving vehicles on their property and they have not moved earth on that property since I've lived here, but the truck or those equipment leave on semi trucks every single day, you would be in violation of the zoning code. But if we went out there and the equipment that you had was used in the operation of your farm, we would turn around and leave, call that neighbor and say they're within they're using the equipment for their farm.
But if it was another farm.
But if the side of that truck said Castle Excavating, you would be in violation of the zoning code and have 30 days to get them off their property, or we would start the legal process.
Well, then I would just put it under Castle LLC everything, and you wouldn't know.
We would know if we went out there and you had larger earth-moving vehicles, and you don't move it. That's where the judgment part of it comes in, and that's what we've been doing for 50 years. The problem is just the farmers are hiring other people to do that work.
It's a changing environment.
It is. Well, and it makes sense to me. I mean, it makes sense what you're talking about. It all makes sense.
The good thing that happened is almost all the old orchards are gone. I mean, our grandparents wouldn't recognize an orchard. Our parents wouldn't recognize an orchard now. And so every one of them needed a D9 ripper in there. The big boys have got their own. But the other guys are using the big boys or hiring. Somebody excavating is coming and maybe 90% of their work is ripping out orchards, but it's for somebody else. So they can't do that, or they can't park it around their house.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you can have
if they're outside the urban
few,
area,
but once you start getting beyond that, no, it's a business and it's a land use now. You need a permit for it, and it's not allowed in the zone.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Okay, we closed the hearing. And that was kind of the new business. Anything else for new business?
New business.
PSCC.
No. Communications. Okay, I understand the Board of County Commissioners did something that's related to something that we did.
Sort of.
The Board of County Commissioners yesterday denied the town of Natchez urban growth area expansion.
That's what I
two to one.
Who was the one?
LaDon Lindy.
Okay.
LaDon felt that it was a farmer's prerogative. If he can't make a living on 23 acres of ag land and he wants to sell it and it's adjacent to an existing urban growth area, then he should be able to sell it and put it in the urban growth area if he wants to. The other two felt that there were too many complaints from the property owners outside the city of Natchez, and so they denied it. Town of Natchez, I'm sorry.
And subcommittees and study groups, I don't think we have any. And the secretary, we don't have one of them either. Is that Phil? Are you the secretary?
No, Tommy's actually the secretary.
I don't have any.
I'm sorry.
Tommy's designated.
He wouldn't need it.
You're July through December.
Do we have a schedule at all on the comp plan update at all?
You're going to get it in the next few months.
Okay.
Well, I did have a thing to talk about in the before we end.
Go for it.
The fourth floor is going to get remodeled at the courthouse. 20 years in the making, but we finally got it approved. And as part of the bid process, as they were walking around and looking at what contractors are going to need to do and blah, 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 they discovered that the adhesive used under the carpet is asbestos. So we had a phasing system set up. Planning was going to work from home. People were going to use our space while the other spaces were being built and remodeled. And then we would be the last ones to get our new furniture installed. And then we would come back to work. You guys would continue to be able to use this space. With the asbestos, they're forcing everyone out for 3 to 4 months of the fourth floor. So there's other spaces in the county that we're going to have a skeleton crew in of all the public services. A lot of people are going to work from home, but accounting needs to occupy this space. This space was dedicated for another group that was down in the basement that's been waiting for office space. And the area that the skeleton crew is going to go was also an area where HR was going to move. So the fourth floor remodel has displaced and stopped a lot of plans. But one thing it does impact you guys is this space will no longer be available. And I'm trying to figure out whether or not we can have our July meeting, which I think we can because it's going to be early. But I'm still trying to figure that out. I have to find another place for us to meet. I was hoping to do virtual still, but apparently, you know, the governor's proclamation or whatever saying everyone got to go back to work and kind of thing. So I need to find a place, and I'd like to find a place that is easy for people to get to and satisfies our needs. So just the heads up on that.
Headaches just keep coming.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find a permanent place, but here's the good thing. You guys have a person that sits on the county commissioners that used to sit in your seat. He has been an advocate for you guys, and so the commissioners, is it tomorrow?
No, they were going to do it tomorrow, but now or Friday, but now it's next week Friday. They're going
next Friday? Okay.
Yeah, next week.
They're going to discuss to open up the courthouse after 5 o'clock for meetings downstairs in the big, nice conference room. That, if that goes through, that means we're back to where we were 15 years ago before Mike Lady kicked us out of the courthouse. which means recording TV screens where people can put up stuff. It'd be just a normal place like we've always wanted.
And all go through security, everybody coming in and out?
That's the issue.
Person on staff and all that stuff.
Well, the security part came in part with the courts.
Yeah.
So if the courts aren't actually open and after 5 o'clock and the doors are shut, then maybe we don't need the security, which is what I'm hoping. A lot of people in the courthouse felt the security was for them, but it was really for the courts. And if the legal mandate is to have the security for courts to ensure no one brings the firearms in the court, if the courts are closed, then maybe that can get lifted and then we'll be able to come in and out. The problem is we don't, I mean, if the county's willing to pay for a security guard to be man that door till 9 o'clock every night, it is what it is. It's one night a month. But if it's where people got to take their belt off and there's suspenders. Suspenders and it turns into a really long thing, then it might not work. But our hope is that it can get worked out because it would be a lot easier to have that, because then you guys, if you need something, this guy can get on the elevator and print you off this stuff. And like what you just asked for, things like that, we can have someone working on that upstairs while we're working down here, working in the conference room.
Computer, you can just go ahead and have it.
That's what I mean.
As I'm rolling up there, I get printing off while I run.
And I like the fact that it's got video recording, all of that, and then it can also be hybrid, so people who can't, if you guys can't make it for whatever reason, weather related for those that live in the lower valley and other places, then you can just virtual in. And that's kind of our goal. It's just we kind of got...
How many people does it seat?
50, maybe?
Oh.
Because the last time I was down there, it was off to the side of the lunchroom.
Well, it has an overflow room, too, so...
Maybe get 25 people in there.
Yeah, I think it's 50 or more, and then the overflow room now is piped into the main hearing room, so you can sit over and watch the hearing going on. I just hope they pull the trigger and let us have it. I really do.
Well, let us know.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep you informed.
But we think we'll be here next week, next month.
Let me give you a list. If you're going to call them, let me give you a list of things. Yeah, if you want to have coffee with one of them, be my guest.
Anything else? Are you thoroughly confused? Okay, so as of right now, we think the next meeting is going to be Wednesday, July 12th, 5:30, somewhere.
Yep, hopefully here.
To be determined. And a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Then moved and second, we adjourn. Anybody opposed? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned at 7:04.
Yes, here, I'll look at this. This is one.
Did you make that meeting to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It was a little bit.
Yeah, it was quick.
I got an extra pin. The one I came down. Mini or
performance. That was for the
help. Which button do you press?
You slide it down.
This one?
Yeah, it turns it off.